The first reading is from Isaiah 7, 1 to 16. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, Go out, you and your son Sheer-Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. Say to him, Be careful, keep calm and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smouldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and of the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, Let us invade Judah, let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves, and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says, It will not take place, it will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim too will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David, Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste.
Isaiah 9 and verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in future, he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word.
Well, here we are, almost at the end of the year. And what a year it's been. And for those who have been experiencing it, it's been a year that has been causing an effect that's been many and varied, depending upon where you live. Not only in the world, whether it's Europe or, you know, whether it's Britain or whether it's Russia or China, whether it's over in America or whether it's here. Many and varied have been the experiences. And even within Australia, there's been a variation of experience. I'm talking, of course, about the effect of COVID-19. For most of us here in the Wheat Belt, it's just been probably mostly just a matter of inconvenience, especially when the restriction of travel between the regions in WA were implemented. Couldn't get down to Perth, couldn't go up to the Midwest for the gospel air. But that was just an inconvenience for the most part, unless, of course, you had a relative, a loved one that was sick and you really wanted to be there and couldn't be. For others, particularly those in Melbourne, most of the year would have felt like a prison, confined to your house for virtually 24 hours a day for months on end. At one time, you were allowed an hour of exercise, and then for a little while in South Australia, you weren't allowed even out for exercise when they clamped down for about a week. For others, it was more than like a prison. For others, it was devastating. Loved ones passed away. There were those whose business that they had worked so hard for just disappeared. It was destroyed, not to come back again. Some will come back, but we're told that many businesses will not survive. They will not come back. And of course, with that is also the turmoil of lost income for people who depended upon those businesses for their livelihood, for their jobs. A very challenging year indeed. And who could have imagined this time last year, getting ready for Christmas, 2019, that not just a state, not just the city, not just the nation, but the entire globe would be thrown into chaos? Who could have imagined that? If we had been told back at the end of last year that within months, virtually the entire airline fleet across the world would be grounded, not for a few days, and not for a week or more, like what happened when the Twin Towers came down in America and all flights were grounded in America, one nation. But airliners throughout the world, even till this day, are basically grounded. Who would have believed that that could happen just like that? And then the economies of the world, every nation, they've been trashed. You know, in our materialistic world, the thing that a lot of people look at is the stock market, which still hasn't fully recovered. And economists say it may take 3 years before we're back to where we were prior to COVID-19 hitting. Who would have thought that was possible? In an instant, basically, the world was thrown upside down and it has not yet recovered and won't for a while. If you've been watching the news like I have, there are a few people who got very strange ways of showing that they're sick of 2020 and would like to see the back of it. Don't know if you saw it on TV last night. There's this particular thing you can do in the UK. And it's an amazing thing. It's called the Rage Yard. Basically, it's just like a salvage yard, you know, like a wrecker's. And you can go there, and they have on these old wrecked cars 2020 written. And you can go in there with submachine guns. You know, they hire you submachine guns and rifles, and you can just blast these cars to bits. You know, 2020, these cars represent the year. You can just say, I'm sick of 2020, good riddance. But the peace resistance is, guess what? You can hire the tank, a chieftain tank, and you can, in that tank, go over the top of the cars and crush them. And if you really want to take out your anger on 2020, that's the one to go for. But what are these people actually saying? They're thinking that simply because when we get to New Year's Eve, that year's past, that things will, just because the clock strikes 1 second later, everything is going to change. They're going to be surprised. 2021 at the beginning is going to be no different than the minute before midnight on 2020. For all that they've done to those cars, things are going to be pretty much the same. And there's always the possibility that that virus will take off again, as it has in so many cities in Europe. People are looking forward to 2021 in hope. Hope that it will be a better year. Well, what is the foundation of their hope? Is it that a vaccine will be found? Is it that the governments will be able to work out a solution to our distress? This Christmas, what we want to do is be reminded that God Himself is the one who is the foundation of genuine hope. He alone is the assurance of a better year. And interestingly, we may go through even worse challenges in 2021, but if the Lord is at the centre of it, it will be a better year than 2020. The world hopes and longs for better days. But the question is, will it remain in the self-inflicted darkness? Will it continue to refuse the light that God provides? So it's important as we go to our text today to realise that Israel was in a situation in some ways similar, not because of COVID-19, but they were facing a physical threat. That's what COVID-19 is. It's a physical threat, isn't it? God's people, Israel, were facing a physical threat at the time of Isaiah the prophet. We read of that in Isaiah 7, 1 and 2. When Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. So it was being invaded. It was physically being attacked. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the enemies are now gathering strength. And then we read, so the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. So there's this physical threat that Israel's facing. And the people are shaking in their boots. Their knees are knocking. They are dead scared. When you look back to that reading that we had there, we see what the Lord says about don't be afraid. You know, don't be in turmoil and distress, because God's saying that because they were. I mean, they were completely in distress and overwhelmed, and they couldn't see a way that they would survive. And so you get this beautiful description. The people were shaking like the trees of a forest shake in the wind. But that was the physical distress Israel was in. So we can say this is darkness for the land. The land was in darkness because of this distress. But worse still was the spiritual darkness Israel was in. And the spiritual distress that this people were suffering, and even worse, was about to happen. Isaiah the prophet was called to bring a prophecy and a message of judgment and destruction to the nation of Israel. I don't know how many ministers would be happy to take up a calling to be ordained to the ministry if they were told that the outcome of their ministry would be the destruction and the punishment of their congregation. That there would be no happy outcome. But that's what Isaiah was told. And Isaiah, in his commissioning, asked the Lord, for how long am I to do this? And this is what the Lord said to him, until the cities lay ruined without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, in other words, even if there's just a little bit left, even with regard to that little bit, it will again be laid waste. That was Isaiah's commission. There wasn't going to be a happy ending. Israel was going to go into exile. So the heavy hand of God was also upon the country because of its sinful adultery. It was playing two sides. It was still keeping up the sacrifices but also worshipping idols at the same time. Israel was a two-timing nation. You see, through Ahaz, an ungodly king, a wicked king, Israel had depended upon national allegiances, Assyria, rather than on God. God had always said, if you're in trouble, call upon me and I'll deliver you. But they depended more on physical allies, and they allied themselves to Assyria. So Ahaz ignored those promises of deliverance from God. And so God pronounced judgment on what in Isaiah and elsewhere in Jeremiah and other places, a nation that he calls rebellious and sinful. In 7 verse 18, Isaiah 7:18, God declares Egypt would sweep into the land. In chapter 7:18-20 and 8:7-8, Assyria, instead of being an ally, would become the destroyer of Israel. In Isaiah 5:12-13, we read of the people of Israel, they have harps and lyres at their banquets, tambourines and flutes and wine, but they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord, no respect for the work of his hands. Therefore, my people will go into exile for lack of understanding. Their men of rank will die of hunger, and their masses will be parched with thirst. They were eating and drinking and thinking everything was fine. When the prophets came and prophesied judgment, they had false prophets that said, no, these are false prophets. Everything's going to be fine. God's going to be okay with us, and there's not going to be an exile. The false prophets kept giving that false message, and the king and the people believed the false prophets. They have no regard for the deeds of the Lord, no respect for the work of his hands. They will go into exile for lack of understanding. The people in Isaiah's day were sitting in darkness, even though they had the opportunity of a God that would produce light for them. Today in our world, we find that in its darkness, especially this dark year of 2020, the world is looking towards a Saviour, looking so much forward to 2021 and to that Saviour, a vaccine. Oh, if we have a vaccine, things will be so much better. I find it remarkable that people are prepared with a vaccine as their Saviour to settle for a COVID normal. Heard that term before? COVID normal. People in darkness are accepting to continue in a darkness that's darker than before. Before COVID-19, according to Scripture, the world has been in darkness, rejecting the light. But things are going to be worse in 2021 because we will have not normal, but we will have a COVID normal, and they're looking forward to it. They think everything's going to be better because aeroplanes can fly again. They can cross the world and go to their favourite holiday spots. Borders will be open. We can freely travel in Australia again and go and visit relatives. No more the heartbreaking stories of people who have not been able to be at the deathbeds of loved ones, who've not been able to attend funerals of those that they have loved, have not been able to say goodbye at those last moments of life. No more the heartbreaking reports, they think, with regard to people dying, especially infants, because they weren't allowed just across the border for urgent medical help but had to go to a city far away. It's going to be so much better in 2021, they think, because of a vaccine. Yet in God's word through Isaiah, there's a chilling message for the world today. It's the same message. In Isaiah 1:3-4, God had this to say with regard to his people, the people he had chosen, the people he had brought out of Egypt. It says, "The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger, but Israel does not know, my people don't understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Israel thought these enemies forming alliances, coming against them, were the biggest threat. The biggest threat was their self-inflicted spiritual darkness. God's judgment was far greater a threat than that of the nations combining against them. They had turned their back on God. That's why they were in darkness. That's why things were even more oppressive than they realized. But centuries later, Paul in Romans chapter 1 speaks of the world, not just Israel. Now think globally, Christians and non-Christians alike. Think of this globe. What does it say? The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who do what? They suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what's been made, so men are without excuse. Now listen to this. This reflects, it echoes what we just read about the people in Isaiah's day. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. They claimed to be wise, but they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. The world thinks the enemy today is COVID-19. Just like, you know, people in Isaiah's day thought it was these nations. This is the physical threat. The nations against us, Israel thought. Well, today the physical threat is COVID-19 and our deliverance, not God, but our deliverance will be a vaccine. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him. It says in Isaiah 5:20 something which truly reflects our world. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Here in Australia, pretty sure, well, I know it's one state. I think there's another state about to do it. That's allowing abortion up to the day of birth. Can you imagine that? Calling evil good and good evil. The new president-elect in the United States is wanting to bring in the same rule. Abortion up to the time of birth. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil and put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. God's laws that cannot be changed. Even the church today, worldwide, you'll find elements of the church who go along with the thinking of the world and say, well, now we live in different times and we have a better understanding. We can change the laws of God. But like in Isaiah's day, the call of God comes and says, repent, or my wrath will come upon you. Just like in Isaiah's day, today the world sits in darkness, looking towards 2021 and depending upon the wrong things with regard to their deliverance. But how amazing our God. What love, what mercy, what grace. To this nation, that he was pronouncing judgment on. Isaiah chapter 1, the same prophet, the same book. What does it say in verse 18? Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Can you picture it? God holding out his hands to this rebellious nation, sitting in self-inflicted darkness, turning its back on him, worse than an ox, worse than a donkey. And what does God say? Come. Come to me. Let's sit down and let's talk. That's basically what it says. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though you are as filthy in sin as you are, I hold out to you cleansing. And in spite of Ahaz's sinfulness, pretending to be so humble and godly, not wanting to put God to the test with regard to this sign that he was offered, no, ask for a sign and the Lord will give it. What does God do in his mercy and grace towards Ahaz and Israel at the time? In the midst of their fear and distress, in the midst of their darkness, comes this beautiful promise. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And isn't that the passage that we hold dear as we come to Christmas? What does it say in Matthew 1, 21 to 23? She'll give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins. Now listen to this. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. And the prophet is Isaiah. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In spite of their rebellion, in spite of Ahaz's wickedness, this promise was delivered. And the nations they were afraid of, they were dealt with by God. God crushed them. The invasion didn't happen. But today, as we celebrate Christmas, well, soon we'll celebrate Christmas, we remember this promise and we're told it has been fulfilled. For a world in darkness, the Christ has come. The child has been delivered. Remember that beautiful promise in Isaiah 9, just two chapters later. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Go to John chapter 1. What do we read? He who was in the beginning, he who was fully God, through whom all things were created, the light came down into the darkness. What's tragic for our world today, in spite of the fact that the prophecy has been fulfilled and the light has come, the world today continues to turn its back on God. We read in John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Do you remember what God said through the prophet Isaiah to Israel? They don't understand. They don't understand. They don't get it. And nothing has changed with regard to the world. It says in John 1, 10 to 11, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Today, for the most part, the world does not recognize Christ, does not recognize the greatest gift, and does not receive him. But how great is our God? in spite of what the world is doing today, continuing, even though it's experienced COVID-19, experiencing its vulnerabilities, experiencing its feebleness, its weakness, what's God doing with a world that continues to turn its back on him? In grace and mercy, God continues to show love and patience. It says in 2 Peter 3:3-9, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's at the heart of God. He doesn't want to send people to hell. He wants people to be saved. And that shouldn't surprise us. Isn't that what the passage that most people, even non-Christians, know? If they know any passage of the Bible, this is the one that they know. For God so what? Loved the world. For God so loved the world, he gave. There's a gift. He gave his only son. That whoever believes in him will not, what? Will not perish, but have eternal life. That's what the prophet Isaiah was saying to Israel. You don't need to perish. Repent. It's the same message today to the world. You don't need to sit in darkness. The light has come. Step out of your darkness. Come in to the light. Of course, the heart of all this is the gospel which the church and the church alone is commissioned to bring to the world. The world will never hear this message. The world will never be in a position to respond to the message if the church doesn't go out. And how do we do that? First and foremost, it's not a program. It's not an evangelism program. It's not a door knock program. First and foremost, it's individual Christians like you and I finding those occasions where we can share what Jesus means to us, what we believe he's done for us, what we know he's done for us, and what we know of him, and then leaving it to the Holy Spirit to work grace and mercy and grant the gift of faith. That's where it really takes place. Relational evangelism in the everyday affairs of life. The people sitting in darkness have seen a great light. What mercy, what grace. God still says, repent. I don't want anyone to perish. Repent and you will be saved. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we've had this time set aside today to come here together to worship you and to be reminded of the true state of the world in which we live. A world whose physical and spiritual condition is one of darkness, just as they were in Isaiah's day for Israel. And yes, Lord, we see again the extent of the greatness of your grace and your mercy. That not only did you promise this child that would come, this child whose name Emmanuel spoke of your presence with your people, but this Christmas we remember you kept that word, that Jesus has come 2,000 or more years ago, and yes, will come again. This time not in a saving work, not in the terms of going to a cross, but coming back as a mighty king, at which time the books will be opened and people will be judged in terms of their relationship to him. And so, Father, we pray, as you have a heart that beats for this world, as you have shown that love in that you gave your only begotten Son, help us to have the same love and concern for this world in which we live, for this community in which you've placed us. And so, Lord, we pray indeed that you'll help us to understand anew our mission, that we are called upon in our lives every day in the opportunities you present to us to share with others who Jesus is, what he means to us, what he's done in our lives, and yes, Lord, what he holds before us, not based on who we are or what we've done, how good we are, but based purely upon your grace, undeserved love and mercy. Our sins paid for on the cross. We're alone. Everything that was required for us to get to heaven has been done when he said, "It is finished." Help us to be faithful then. Help us to go forth in your name. Help us to share, and may the Holy Spirit take up what we share with others and bring many to faith. This we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.